The last two Mishnayos of this perek list specific kinds of kelim which are made out of cloth, which has been the focus of the last couple of perokim, and whether or not they are able to become tomei, and to which degree. Keses hasabolim, a kind of mini cushion, which is used by people who carry heavy loads on their shoulders. They would place the loads on a stick over their shoulders, and in order to protect their shoulders from being harmed, they would have a mini cushion on top of their shoulders on which they would rest the stick. Tomeya midras, such an item can become tomei even via tumas midras, because occasionally he would sit down on it as well. For example, when he lay down to rest, he might use it as an actual cushion to sit on, as long as it's, of course, the minimum size of 3x3 tefachim. Mashmerishal yayin, a wine strainer. This consists essentially of a cloth through which they would pour the wine, and any of the dregs, the part of the wine that had hardened, would not go through the cloth, and you'd be left with more smooth and refined wine. Although technically speaking you're able to sit on this cloth, it cannot become tomei like a regular item that is designated for sitting on, meaning it cannot become tomei via tumas midras, because it gets very dirty due to the wine that's poured on it, and therefore people would not want to sit on top of it. Svacha shel zakena, netting which is placed over the hair of a older woman, tomei mishumayshov, can become tomei just like anything which is partly designated to sit on, because occasionally the woman would sit on it, just like most garments and items of clothing. Occasionally people also sit on it and use it as a form of a cushion. However, a hair netting which is used by a younger woman who's more concerned about her appearance, she would never actually sit on it, and therefore that would not be able to become tomei via tumas midras. Choluk shel yotzeis hachutz, a shirt of a woman who goes outside, literally. This refers to a very immodest woman who commits immoral acts, and her shirt was osui kisvacha, made like netting. It was made similar to the netting which is placed over a woman's hair, which means that her clothes had very large holes in. The Mishnah says because of that, tohar, it cannot become tomei at all, because it doesn't even have a definition of an item of clothing. Even though technically you're able to sit on it, but it lacks any status of a kli whatsoever because of the large amount of holes in that item of clothing. And on a similar note, ha'isa begim nachirim, one who makes an item of clothing out of the netting of a fish trap, tohar, that item of clothing also cannot become tomei because of the large amount of holes in it. It does not have the status of a regular item of clothing. However, when a zutoi, if he makes the item of clothing out of the bottom, the base of the fish trap, this was actually a proper material that was woven together. It didn't have holes in, so if he used that part to make a garment, then tomei, it would be able to become tomei, just like all garments and pieces of cloth which are large enough. Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov says, Afo isa beged min achirem ukafolai, even somebody who makes the item of clothing out of the netting of the fish trap, but he doubles it over, meaning he folds it in a way that there are no longer any holes. If he manages to do that, then tomei would be able to become tomei, although holes could possibly develop there pretty easily. At the moment, it is fit to be used as an item of clothing, and therefore it would be able to become tomei even via tumas midras, just like any item of clothing. Mishnah Yud, the final mishnah of the perek, discusses details of this svacha, this netting which is worn over the hair of a woman, and it can be shown in the diagram. The Mishnah begins, Svacha shehischu b'mepiha. If when making the svacha, the person who was creating it began from its edge, which essentially is sort of the bottom part of this netting, which is shaped like a hat. So the person began weaving or forming this hat or this netting from the edge, from the bottom edge, tahira, it is not yet able to become tomei. It doesn't have the status of a kli, adjigmaris kurukurta, until he finishes weaving and forming the very top part of the hat. And likewise, hisrabami kurukurta, if he began weaving and sewing it from the top of this netting, this hat, tahira adjigmaris piha, it is pure, it is not able to become tomei until he finishes the edges of the hat, because until then it's not considered to be a completed item, and therefore doesn't yet have the status of a kli that is able to become tomei. Now, often women, when they wore this netting over their hair, they would attach a band, which they would wear towards the top of their forehead, and it would be attached to this svacha, this netting, and it was detachable, and they could add it onto different nettings, and because of that, shovis shelo tomei b'fnei atzmoi, its band can become tomei in and of itself. Even when it's not attached to the rest of the netting, it still has enough significance for it to be able to become tomei by itself. On the other hand, hachutin shelo, the strings that are attached towards the back of this netting, as the diagram shows, and were used to tie the netting onto the woman's face, her head, the strings by themselves, if they're not attached to the svacha, to the netting, then they can't become tomei. They haven't got enough significance in and of themselves. However, as long as they are attached to the svacha, they do fulfill a very important role, and as such, tomei mishum chibur, they can become tomei as long as they are attached. And not only that, but as long as they're attached, they're considered to be literally one item together with the rest of the svacha, such that if the source of impurity touches only one part of the netting, or only the string, all of it will become tomei. The Mishnah ends off, svacha shenikra, if the netting tears, in enam kabelas esrev haseyar, if it is torn to such an extent that it's no longer able to cover and hold the majority of the woman's hair, then it's no longer usable, it's considered to be a broken kli, and as such, tahira, it would no longer be able to become tomei. And if it had already become tomei, then it would lose its impurity. The subject of this perek is one that is related not to a specific material, like the majority of the parakim of the Masechta, but it's rather a perek which is relevant to any material, pretty much, possibly except for earthenware. And the subject matter is that of yodis, handles, is the literal translation of a yad, a handle, and it refers to something that is attached to the main kli, and it assists in the main kli's function, but in a very different way to what the main kli is used for. A classic example would be a frying pan or a pot. The handle is not used in the same way as the actual pot or the frying pan. The handle allows you to be able to cook inside the pot or the frying pan, but you don't cook using the handle. That would be a classic example of a yad. And the law is that the yad is considered to be like a part of the main kli. If the source of impurity touches even just the yad, then all of it would become tomei. Likewise, if the main kli becomes tomei, the yad would become tomei with it. But there's an important limitation that applies over here, and that is the focus of many of the Mishnayos over here. And that is that only the part of the handle that is actually needed and used together with the kli, only that part receives the status of a yad that is automatically considered an extension of the main kli. So for example, if somebody had an extra long handle attached to the pot, only the part of the handle which is pretty close to the pot and is necessary for being able to move the pot around as needed, only that would be considered a part of the kli, whereas the rest of the handle does not become tomei together with the kli. And it's likely that the rest of the handle is not considered to be significant enough to become tomei at all. That would certainly be the case in most scenarios. Nimei hasodin, the threads at the end of a sheet, the sudorin, or the end of a scarf, the tartin, or on the edge of a kind of hat, the pilyon shalroish, or the threads that dangle down from a pilyon which is worn on a person's head, as shown in the diagram, it went down on the side of his head as well, and at the back, so it sort of covered his neck as well. There would be threads dangling from the edges of these items, and they would be left there on purpose, either for purposes of decoration or to prevent the rest of the threads of these different items from unraveling. And the amount that would be considered necessary and that they would usually leave on the edge was shesh etzba'os, up to 6 finger breadths. So that is the amount that would be considered a yad, whereas if they are longer than any of the extra length would not get the status of a yad, which means that it would not be able to become tomei, and if the main item became tomei, the threads which are further away than within 6 finger breadths of the main item, that part would not become tomei together with the rest of it. Shalep karasin, the threads which hang off of the top of a kind of vest or an undershirt which is worn by a person, it's sleeveless, and when wearing it, he would tie it around his neck or around his shoulders with these threads that hang off of the top of the vest. the undershirt, and eser, the thread is considered a yad, up to 10 finger breadths of it. That's how much is necessary for tying it to the person so that it will stay on him. It will stay tight. Nimes gois, the threads that hang off of the edge of a very thick woolen coat, the horadid, a kind of scarf which is worn by women, the hecholuk, the threads at the end of a shirt, the talis, or at the end of a cloak, which is wrapped around the person, sholishit bois, the yad would be considered any amount of that thread which is within 3 finger breadths of the main item. That's how much these items require, or they would generally leave, either for decoration or so that the rest of the thread doesn't unravel. Nimi kiposhel zakena, the threads which are dangling at the bottom of a kind of hat or netting that is worn by old women. Vahagumdin shel arvien, and that which Arabs place over their faces in order to protect themselves from the cold. It would cover most of their face, pretty much except for the eyes. Vakulkin, a kind of belt which is made out of goat hair. Vapundo, a belt which is hollow. Vahama pires, a piece of material or scarf which is wrapped around one's face, or at least the top part of his face, from his forehead upwards. Vahaparigoid, and the threads that dangle off of the end of a curtain. And imehen kol shehen, the threads of the items listed in this final list at the end of the Mishnah, regardless of how long they are, even if they are very long, it would all be considered a yad, because it all adds to the decoration of these items. It's something that is meant to be there, so even if these threads which hang off of the edges are longer than normal, they would still, it would all be considered a yad, and an extension of the main item. Mishnah Beis, sholish ksosis shel tzemer, up to 3 mattresses made out of wool, which are connected to each other. There's a discussion whether we're talking about where they are literally sewn together, one next to the other, or perhaps they are only connected slightly. Either way, they've been stitched together to a certain degree, and up to sheishal pishton, 6 mattresses made out of linen, shloishos dinin, up to 3 sheets which are stitched together, and up to shtemesrim et pachos, 12 leather sheets which are either used to lie down on, or one places it on top of him as a cover when he lies down, shneis of rikin, 2 trousers which are connected to each other, choluk echod, but 1 shirt, talis achas, and only 1 cloak, kluvkorin echod, and 1 kluvkorin, which is a kind of thick woolen item of clothing, chibur latuma, are considered to be connected in terms of the laws of impurity. Since occasionally people would use up to that number of whatever was mentioned together at the same time, we are able to view up to that number of those items as being like one single kli. If they're never used together, so then we're not able to view it as one kli, but to the extent that occasionally they are used together, a few at the same time, so if they are currently stitched to each other, at least partially, we are able to halachically view it as all one big kli, which is very thick, and if the source of impurity touches even just one of them, all of them will become tome on that same level. And likewise, v'la hazoya, they are considered to be like one item for the laws of sprinkling the solution which contains the ashes of a parat aduma, a particular red cow, which would be mixed with a solution of water, and this was sprinkled on items and people that became tome from a dead body in order to purify it. And the law is that it only has to be sprinkled on a part of the item. Even if the solution only touches a part of the item, the entire item becomes pure. And the Mishnah is telling us that we're able to view all of these items which are connected to each other as one halachic item, such that if it all becomes tome on the level of tome meis, something that became tome from a dead body, and then this solution containing the parah aduma ashes is applied, is sprinkled to the items, and it only touches one of them, all of them will become pure because it's all viewed as the same item. However, Yosem Rikan, if it's any more than the number that was mentioned, Chibur Latuma, although it is considered to be still all like one large item for the laws of impurity, this is true at least on a Midrash Rabbanon level. The Chachomim were stricter, but the Eino Chibur LaHazoya, it's not considered to be a connection for the laws of sprinkling the Parah Aduma ashes in the solution, because that would be being lenient. And since according to the strict letter of the law, any more items would not any longer be considered like one halachic item, it would need to be sprinkled on each of those garments in order to purify them separately. Rabbi Yosi says, Afle la tuma, even for the laws of impurity, it's not considered to be like one item halachically, and the Rabbanon were not strict in this regard according to Rabbi Yosi.